Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
There were two killers.
Luke, that's your daddy.
The robot did it.
Snake was a good guy.
He really wasn't cheating.
They was in purgatory the whole time.
What? Everybody dies.
Verbal Kent is Kaiser Sose.
They kill old Yella.
Oh my god. Everybody in this Tyler Perry movie got AIDS.
Spoiled movie reviews.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Spoiled Movie Reviews. I'm your host, Rod, and I'm by myself, no co-host. Spoiled Movie Reviews is where I review a movie that you've either seen, don't ever plan on seeing, or don't care about spoiling because I spoil the movie. And today's movie is Booty Talk 31, starring Caramel, Carmen Hayes, and Cherokee the Ass. Nah, just kidding. Today's movie is Gunpowder Milkshake. You can find it streaming on Netflix. And I'm going to talk about what I like, what I didn't like. Score from 0 to 5. It's that easy. It's that nice. It's that fresh. Directed by Nevat Papachatto, who I don't know his work. Big Bad Wolves, Gunpowder Milkshake, and Rabies. So I don't know any of these movies. I don't know her. But it stars people that I do know. Karen Gillian, Lena Headey, who y'all may know from Game of Thrones. Karen Gillian, you may know from, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Michelle Yeoh is in here. I mean, it's got quite a cast. Angela Bassett is in here. They definitely had some strong casting with the women. Carla Gugino's in here, who is like everybody's favorite MILF. Like everyone loves her. Like, it's just, you know, straight up, amazing cast of women. I think the dudes, they weren't as strong a cast of the men, but I don't think this movie's about that. So the plot of this movie, Gunpowder Milkshake, is, in her turbulent life as a professional assassin, Scarlett was cruelly forced to abandon her daughter, Sam, and go on the run. And of course, Scarlett is actually played by Lena Headey, but Lena Headey's not the main character of this movie. Years later, despite their estrangement, Sam has also grown up into a cold-blooded hit woman. After a high-stakes mission, spins out of control, putting an innocent 8-year-old girl in the middle of the gang war she has unleashed, Sam has no choice but to go rogue. This ultimately leads her back to her mother and her former hit woman sidekicks, who all join forces in an avenging war against those who took everything from them. All right, let's get into it. All right, so first of all, let's talk about what we liked. Okay, let's keep it positive. Start on a positive note. Obviously the cast we like, right? Karen Gillian, Gillian is definitely, y'all may know her as Queen of the KKK Ball, but I know her as Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. And of course she's, also Nebula in Guardians of the Galaxy. So, you know, big fan of hers. I think she's, a star. She does great work. I'm sure Chris Lambert would call her, a white starlet that he's kept an eye on or something, but I think she's just got a lot of range, like very talented, very funny. So seeing this like John Wick type of movie, which is essentially what this movie is, it's a woman being like a woman assassin in a world of assassins. She definitely like, this is a role where I'm like, can she pull this off, right? Like, this is one of those, it's kind of a stoic person, kind of, you know, supposed to be a little bit deadly, menacing, scary, can kick ass, all these action scenes. I don't know how many of her own stunts she did in this, but I mean, it looked pretty seamless to me. But yeah, so she, as the person who helms this film, is the person who's really the film is about, I thought she did a good job. Lena Headey is always great in everything. I feel like all these people I'm naming is always great in everything. Carla Gugino, always great in everything. Michelle Yeoh, always great in everything. Angela Bassett, always great in everything. So like, I think where the film shines are these moments where the women are doing like the action stuff, and you know, especially women like in Hollywood, to have like three or four women in this movie that are over, you know, 35 kicking all this ass is amazing, because, you know, Hollywood is like, oh, a woman just turned 30, well, there's no need for her to be in anything after this. And especially for it to be something so action heavy, like you talking about, you know, gunplay and stunts and wire work and all this shit, it must have been a ball to film it. Yeah, so the cast and is definitely where this movie shines. The action is definitely where it shines. I mean, we're getting a car, the parking lot car scene was dope. Karen Gillan taking the guys out in a bowling alley, brutal fight, and also just like some innovative, you know, ways to really maim and injure people. So I thought that was interesting. Oh, that was good, actually. Let me think, what else is good with this? I kind of liked some of the stuff they did trying to build a world, kind of like John Wick. How like John Wick had, the thing that becomes interesting about John Wick is less Keanu Reeves and more like this world they built around him, the lore of that world, where you're like, what is this going for? Well, okay, so you're checking in at the Continental, how can all these assassins be in this hotel? And then you find out, oh, here are the rules and all this stuff. And I think Paul Giamatti, who plays like kind of a broker for these for assassins in this movie, you know, does a little bit of the Ian McShane type role or whatever, I think that's his name. But yeah, so I think some of it hints at some of the lore in this film, in this universe, that would be intriguing, especially with it spanning this generational gap, and the story they're trying to tell about motherhood and parenting and being a daughter and what that means and all that stuff. So once again, another thing I thought was, it's so stylish. I mean, you can tell from like the cover or whatever, the art for the movie, when you get ready to stream it on your Netflix. I mean, it just looks so good. The cars look good, the clothing choices are all like, they all say something, whether it's retro clothing choices or whatever, like everything's about looking good. You know what I mean? So maybe it's style over substance, but it is style for sure. You cannot say this movie didn't have a style of its own. So I think that might be it for my positives. So I guess we can get to some of the negatives. So as I said, lots of style, I would say very light on the substance. And it's a shame, really, because there's so much potential here for not just a good movie, but good movies. Like there's a, like this could be a franchise if it was taken that way, but I felt like it was a waste of talent because so many things that look cool were not thought about. For example, they have this thing where there's a library, and in the books are all like, they do so much lip service with like feminism. So like the books are all like major books about feminism or written by women that become like these great texts and stuff. And it was all girl power, which is cool. I mean, shit, you got some of the best women actresses all in one place. More power to you with the girl power, but it's surface level girl power. It never goes beyond that. There's no specific burden in this movie that any character truly takes on because they are a woman. And in many ways it felt very white feminism TM to me, because essentially it was, what if there was this world where white women were the same as white men, and that white men action movies are impossible white men, right? And this is definitely impossible white man, but they like, but the story they're trying to tell is one of couching it in surface level feminism. It's like, open up the book at the library for Little Women, and inside is a 9mm Glock with three bullets in it. It's like, okay, I guess, you know what I mean? Like that's not really telling a story of, like, there's no why there, you know? And I think maybe because, because of that, it falls flat to me. And the same dude that directed it wrote it, so maybe that's why, because it feels like the kind of thing a man would write, and then feminism was like a coat of paint he's just slapped on his John Wick film. And if, like, the kind of person that says a woman is a woman protagonist in an action film is badass, that's what this felt like. It felt like Holly was like, she was a badass. It felt like that type of shit. A lot of it feels wasted in that way, you know, because there was so much commentary that could have been made about mothers and daughters and generational healing of relationships, which you'd have to stretch to really see that in this movie, because everything is just kind of like, you know, stoic tough guy shit. And by the end, it's silly. Like, the bad guys also, like, that was where they really hurt this film. Paul Giamatti not being, like, the big bad was a waste of a character, because you get this actor, and normally I do feel this way where I'm like, when you hire this certain type of actor and they playing, like, a role in the movie, sometimes I can watch the movie and I'm like, well, that guy's gonna be the bad guy. And sometimes it does take away from a film, because you're like, well, all this fucking subtext doesn't matter, because I know you don't go pay Liam Neeson to be in your movie if he's not gonna be the bad guy. Except sometimes it's that way because that's who should be the bad guy. Why would you pay this actor to not do shit, you know? And I feel like Paul Giamatti got paid to not do shit, and he really should have been the big bad at the end. Even if he would have lived to fight another day, like, he could have just been chewing up the scenery as the guy that they need to kill. But instead, they kind of have this, like, nebulous conglomerate of people that want her dead because she violated the contract or some shit. And it's just like, what is this? The bad guys have fucking insta spawn. They're just like the bad guys are just you can send wave after wave of them to die in a hell of gunfire and just infinite pawns on the chessboard, and nothing fucking happens. Like, it's just like, because none of the bad guys were really memorable. Like, one of the guys is supposed to be like and not only are they not memorable, their motivations aren't properly put into this perspective of, and this is why this is a feminist movie, because these men are so fucking trash and look what men do. It was like, it was such a wasted coat of paint on top of this script, because it was like, you could have left all the feminism shit out of it then, you know? Which, it's like, just because you cast women don't make it feminist, and doesn't make it, like, have a statement to say, you know? It's like the statement was that we have no statement. So that felt very wasted. And there was a lot of stuff that I think they could have fleshed out, like, how are they, you know, what kind of universe is this? How do they get the assassin contracts out? Who are the other assassins in this world? What assassin jobs have these women all done that they're now, cause these women are all like retirement age and they seem to be like, you know, just helping Karen Gillan out, but not, they don't really want to get involved, you know? There's a lot of just lore in this universe that went unexplored in this movie, as if they weren't even curious about it, you know? Like, we're not even gonna hint towards what this could mean two movies from now, cause they're just like, fuck it. And then there's everything, and I hate to say this, but everything with Karen Gillan and Lena Headey as the mother-daughter combo that's kind of the star of the film, everything involved falls flat. 100% of it. Like, you already have a problem in this movie, because I don't know who I'm supposed to be fucking rooting for, because Karen Gillan kills this dude who was trying to get money to get his kidnapped daughter back, but then she ends up saving the daughter, protecting the daughter the whole film, And at some point, and then the daughter's a little black girl, so she ain't got a daddy no more. And at some point, she kind of takes this girl under her wing, and it's almost like they wrap that conflict up in, like, well, when the little girl found out that I'm the one who actually killed her dad, you know, she was mad for like 14 minutes of script time. And then by the end of the movie, it's all good and all the girls are living together at the library. And just like, that seems ridiculous. Like, in a movie that is already ridiculous, that seems extra ridiculous. Like, Karen Gillan's character has held a grudge with her own mom her whole fucking life because of how absent she's been in her life. But this little black girl is already over it 14 minutes later. That don't make no fucking sense. And that was probably my biggest pet peeve with this film, was like, how, like, Karen Gillan doesn't necessarily seem like the good guy in this film, but also they treat her like she's this uncomplicated kind of good guy. Like, well, obviously we're rooting for her to kill all these people. I'm like, I don't know, she killed that girl's daddy and he was just trying to keep the kid from getting kidnapped. And then the kid just, you know, kind of, because of the script needs it at the time, it's like the kid got to be okay with it. So I thought that was kind of a waste. And then also some of the action can be so ridiculous, it's almost corny, because this director wanted to do a lot of funny violence, but the violence in this movie is very gratuitous violence. So it's like, it's not really, it's like it crosses that threshold to where I'm like, if you're gonna be fucking people up this bad, take it serious. Cause not that, it's not really hilarious at this point. You know what I mean? Like, unless you were gonna make a comedy, then what are you doing? You know what I mean? So the action felt kind of tonally, it felt like it belonged to a different movie at times, where you're just like, what's even happening right now? Cause the action felt almost like out of Shoot 'Em Up, which is a very funny, movie about, you know, violence and all this shit, but it's supposed to be funny. It's a comedy, it's satire. Some of the violence in this feels like comedy and satire, but then it's like, they want you to really feel something for this little black girl who's, you know, kind of at the center of this film, and her fate is what it's all ends up becoming about. So and maybe they wanted to find a way to make Karen Gillan's character a mother without her being having a real daughter and being a mother, and so this was their way of doing it. But I'm sorry, you killed that girl's dad. It's never gonna be okay in an hour and a half, you know. The last thing I'll say for this film for dislikes is too long. You know what else John Wick did right? Be an hour and a half. We don't need an hour and 55 minutes of this, dog. It's not okay. Cut some of this shit out, especially since you didn't explore these themes of feminism. You didn't explore the lore of, like, what's up with these libraries? Are there more than one? Do other people run them? Do they run them all? What determines what's gonna be in what book as far as a weapon? You know, it just felt like, if you're gonna explore it, then explore it and spend the 2 hours that way. But if you're not, then what the fuck are you wasting my time for? Because some of the stuff with the style, while it was a very stylish movie, some of the style shit just felt like for style's sake. And it was taking, like, you know, here's a 2 minute scene of her sitting in the car looking out the window, as opposed to this should have been like 1 second. And now we got a 2 hour movie, you know? Anyway, let's rate it 0 to 5. What would I give this? I'm gonna give it 2 different scores. So on a possible white man score, I would give it like a 3. Like, it's a solid impossible white man flick. It's you know, good action, you know, not too many people gonna die in the film. You know, Karen Gillan is not gonna die. And, you know, has some innovative fight scenes. The scene where her arms are numbed and yet she still has to fight in the hospital and fight those 3 guys that she fought at the bowling alley. Yeah, that was pretty interesting. So yeah, impossible white man stuff. I mean, yeah, I give about a 3. Yeah, I give about a 3 out of 5. I think that's fair. As a movie, probably like a 2 out of 5. And I hate to say it because this cast is so good, but the cast cannot save what this movie became. And unfortunately, man, the movie just kind of was too long and never really gets into the lore that the angles and the lore and the stuff I cared about gets left on the wayside. And the protagonist is so conflicting to me because you can't just throw a little black girl in there and make me go, oh, I'm gonna root for you because you're protecting her after you killed her daddy. I'm sorry, but that don't make no fucking sense. All right, y'all, that's it for this review. We'll be back with another one shortly. Peace.